The power of prayer. The power of prayer. We've just had 24 hours of Hope WA in here, and thank you for those who came. I'm sad for those who didn't get here because there was the real presence of the Lord. We had over, I think it was 16 bands come in over the 24 hours. We even had Hillsong Band come in at, I think it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what times. I'm not going to say what times were because there were bands coming in the whole time. And they were from all different churches, all different denominations. But the power of worship was just awesome. And then, as I said, during the week, I was going to pray. I'm rostered on to pray, to preach this week. And I said, no, Lord, I wanted you to give me a message. And it started on Wednesday night at the elders' meeting, when the elders were just praying and we were talking about issues and things. And the Lord just kept on popping these words and I was writing them down. And I thanked the elders. I said, you've just given me an outline of a sermon. And I said, that's great, God. You give me an outline, but you haven't given me anything. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, God just, bang, he just showed me through his word of God what I was to preach on. I said, I grabbed these four words and I said, well, how does that marry up to that what I've just read? And he says, well, read it. And I was like, read it again. And I read it again. I said, look, I'm pretty slow, okay? I'm pretty slow on the uptake. And I read it about 3 or 4 times. Then all of a sudden, this word came out of this morning. And I'm going to share it with you. It's blowing me away. It's totally blowing me away. But anyway, on February 2014, I stood up here and I cast the vision for the future for the church. And the vision is what? Give you a hint. Say it all together. Wow, you guys are good. You guys are good. And on that day, we declared that we would move forward as a church to see God fulfilled and for our vision and mission statements to lead us in that process. And for nearly 4 years on following that vision Sunday, we gather here today realizing that God is doing a new thing in the church. Not just at Hillside, but the church and the wider body. And we're here today because we've listened to God's voice. Because we've worked diligently and because we've been willing to go through the emotional and the spiritual turmoils and that was necessary for all of us and most of us because we've become people of prayer. We wouldn't have done that if we hadn't have become people of prayer. Other than praying for my family, I've prayed more about the vision God has given to us and all the details involving it than any other thing in my entire life. I've seen more obvious answers to prayer in the last 4 years than any time in my life. And it's led me, and I hope to all of us, to depend on God in prayer more than ever I imagined that I could. But this experience has also taught me not only to rely on God enough, that I don't rely on God enough, sorry, and that while we have grown together as people of prayer, we must learn to depend on God more and more and more in the days ahead. Because the fact of the matter is that while acquiring all this land here and all that's on it was a step in the process of fulfilling God's vision from the beginning. It was the first step and not the last. And I say that because we've had people from all over the city come here in the last 24 hours over the weekend and just say, oh my goodness, what a beautiful place this is. Wow, what a beautiful ambience this place has got. Not just in here, but all over the whole place. They were walking. The people were walking through the village and just the gardens. And they were just, wow. And I've said over and over and over again, it's not about the buildings. It's about reaching people for Jesus, discipling so they can become fully devoted followers. And we must realize and act upon the fact that God is not through with us yet. And today is simply a day where God's people start afresh on their new journey of faith. When we wake up, when you wake up each morning, today it's a new day. Amen. And it's a new journey of your faith. 2,000 years ago, there was another group of people starting on a journey of faith. And we read about the history of those folks in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we see an example after example after example of God's working with his power through his people. And it's my contention that the power available to them is the same power available to us today, right now. And by studying how God worked with them in the past, we can learn how God will work with us in the future. Perhaps the most important lesson we can learn in this regard is how God works through the prayers of his people. And I want to look at these four principles, the four principles that the elders so didn't realize, but they gave, well, God gave them to give to me on Wednesday night. But before I do that, I want us just to can we all stand, please? Can we just all stand? And I want together, all of us together, to say the Lord's Prayer. And I've got the Lord's Prayer up there. All together in unity. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we... It's good. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Great. Sit down. I was going to say, if you don't know that, you've got to learn it. And the reason why I stuffed up there is because I have got different words here to there. As I said, I did this with no sleep. That is right. That's the NIV version. All right, I've got a different version up here. Okay. So in your outline, all right, in your outline, there are these principles were highlighted in the elders' meeting, as I said. Principle number one. It's what we just did, is pray in unity. Pray in unity on your outline. Write that down, pray in unity. Try your best to put yourself right now, okay, in the context of this passage that we're about to look at. That's what I want you to do. The disciples have just recently had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them. They were speaking with boldness unlike they had ever had before, a bit like what Alan experienced up in 2J. He had the boldness over him to go up to someone. Okay, and while they speak of Christ, this didn't happen to Alan, but while they speak of Christ, they often find a hostile audience that seeks to harm them. But Alan didn't know about that lady being, she didn't know whether she was hostile or not. That's faith. And the reason why Alan had success there, because whenever we challenge people about God, God is with us. Amen? Isn't it good? So good. Okay. So Peter and John had just healed a man who had been crippled for over 40 years. Okay, just don't gloss over that. This guy had been crippled for 40 years. Okay, Peter and John just go up to him and heal him in Jesus' name. But the Jewish council called them in for questioning. Can you believe it? These guys just healed a guy who'd been crippled for 40 years, and now the Jewish council, hey, come here. And the disciples testified to the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to get that. The council. You just imagine it. You've just been brought in because this guy who's crippled, everyone knows him, he's been crippled for 40 years. And you two blokes just healed him. Well, I'm going to order you, Peter and John, to never speak about this Jesus again. Exactly, huh? Timing's perfect. In Acts 4, 19 and 20, it says, and here is their reply. Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we have seen and heard. Peter and John then returned to his fellow believers and shared with them what had happened. Could you imagine it? Them going back to the disciples saying, guess what they did? They asked us not to, they told us to stop talking about Jesus, and we just healed this cripple for 40 years. Do you know what the very first thing that that church did when they went back and told them? This is what they did in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, 25. Then all the believers were united as they lifted their voices up in prayer. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago of the Holy Spirit through your ancestor, King David, your servant, saying, now we're going to go back to the rest of that in a minute, okay? But let's notice the first principle, obtaining power in prayer. It was the prayer of unity, right there. It's like the elders' meeting. We talk about a situation. You know, I mean, I've got to tell you, the elders pray for you guys every elders' meeting. And sometimes, I mean, last Wednesday, what time? David was midnight, wasn't it, when we left here. Start at 5 and we left at midnight, 7-hour meeting. Yeah, a lot of you guys probably go, oh, my goodness, that sounds horrible. You know what? Long meetings are horrible. But when you've got the presence of the Lord and you're praying for people and you're seeing things like we've just seen this morning, it could go on and on and on. Because what the elders do, when we talk about something and either Dave or Alan or Lance or Devin will just go, let's pray about that. So we pray. And not just one, but we all pray. And then we go on to the next thing. And then we pray. And we have seen things happen in the natural, just incredible things, incredible favour over the years. And the leadership of this church has always done that, put everything to prayer. I love it. Okay, just like today as we're seeing God's church unity regarding the worldly attack on the church, we're seeing the church today united amazingly at the moment. And it's so good. I mean, see, the devil, he's got the same-sex marriage debacle going or debate going on, and it's tearing churches apart, and it's tearing the community apart and everything else. But you know what? God sits on his throne and he laughs and laughs and laughs, because while the enemy's out there trying to destroy marriages, he's got a powerhouse of his church all praying, all different denominations praying the same thing. Hey? It's awesome. Prayer is an integral part of armor in the spiritual warfare. It is the end of Paul's discourse on being armed for the spiritual battle. And he says this in Ephesians 6:8. He says, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that exactly what's happening in our text? The believers were praying in one mind and in one power of the Spirit, because they realized that they must be united in purpose if they were to defeat the enemy who had come against them. And it's no different for us. When Satan sees that prayer from my lips is the same prayer from your lips, and that the church and that we're all praying the same thing to the same God, to the same purpose, and to Satan, goes straight into panic mode. He is scared when he sees what just happened there when we all said the Lord's Prayer. Oh my goodness. He runs scared. You know, we have a vision and a mission statement, not only that gives us the direction for the future, but has also given us an agenda by which we pray together in unity. Now the question is, are you praying today for spiritual victory over your family and over your church? Are you praying for transformation in your lives and others in Jesus' name? Are you? Are you? Are you really? This morning I saw on Facebook while I was in the office, just getting a couple of shut-eye, that there was a lady in our congregation that had been sick this week. And I said to her, I said, yeah, I've got something for you, a bag of cement. And I went, oh, only joking. Heavenly Father, I pray for Bobby right now and I rebuke the sickness in Jesus' name. Even in her household, Lord, I rebuke the sickness that's going through there at the moment. And I speak healing not only upon Bobby, my sister, but on her husband as well. And let him know that he knows that he knows that it's of you, the healing that's taking place in Jesus' name. Are you praying for the leaders of the church every day? Are you praying for your youth leaders and the children's leaders and the men's and the women's and the volunteers? Are you praying for your church? Are you praying that Satan would be defeated, that we would have the victory? That is the kind of stuff that I'm praying every day. And if you will pray with me in this manner, Satan will not have a chance. You know, a lot of things have happened to Sally, our family, this year. This year has been, as you know, it's been a pretty tough year. But people say, wow, you've had a really tough year. But you know what? I've had probably one of the best years in my ministry at the same time, where I've seen miracles right before my eyes. I've seen people transformed in Jesus' name. And I know the enemy's out there. He's trying to seek and destroy, and he's trying to cut my legs that I haven't got really many of, much of. He's trying to cut them down short. I say, you can come at me as much as you want, because he in me is bigger than that. That's my paraphrase of it. Principle number two, pray with authority. Let me tell you a true story of a man named Hubert Mitchell who memorized the entire New Testament. Who would like to do that? As a former missionary in his 60s, he spent his days in downtown Chicago, going from office building to office building. Inside, he would ask secretaries if he could just have 5 minutes with their boss to talk to them about a personal matter. Frequently, he'd be ushered into the boss's office and he would say, I only have 5 minutes, but I want to ask you, did you read your Bible before you came to work this morning? The boss would look at him if he was a crazy man and say, no. And Hubert would smile and answer, sir, you sure missed a blessing, didn't you? I'd just like to share with you what God spoke about to me in the Bible this morning. And he would open up his New Testament and hand it to the boss and say, let's start right here. Then Hubert would sit back and start quoting it from word to word. So he gave the bosses the Bible like that. He stood back and then he read it to them word to word. Okay? The bosses would listen with amazement. After minutes, Hubert would say, it's my time up and I've got to go. Wasn't that a blessing? And on most occasions, the boss would ask them to stay longer and invite them back again and again and again, and they would talk. Hubert Mitchell led men to Christ all over downtown Chicago because God's word was bringing in his heart. And he recognized it was the authority of life and God's authority in him. See, when the early believers prayed, they did so by their authority. It was by God's authority. They understood that God will always stand by his word and will bless his people according to his word. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. He says, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor, King David, your servant, saying, why did the nations rage? Why did the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered against the Lord and against his Messiah. And this prayer, they're actually quoting Psalm 2. And using that as a basis of authority for what they were going to petition God for. In other words, they are reminding God of his past promises and revelation and applying that to their present situation. Let's have a look at Acts 4, 27-28. They continue, that is what has happened here in this city. For Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. In fact, everything they did occurred according to your eternal will and plan. See, I could easily preach a whole sermon on this point alone. But what I want to get across is that the early disciples are praying according to God's revealed word. What God has revealed in the past has a perfect correlation with what is happening in their present. And guess what? That's why this book, the Bible, is so relevant to us today, because we can go right back, 6,000 years ago and quote the Word of God to remind God to use God's will, use God's authority and power for our present day situations. And how do you know how to do that? By reading the Word. In other words, they're not praying, if it be your will, God. How many times do we pray that? If it's your will, God. You know, when I hear people say that, and even sometimes I say that, if I'm honest, I say it because sometimes I forget what is written in the Word of God. If it is your will. Well, hang on. No. Is it God's will? Let's have a look. Well, it may not be always his will. Depends what you're praying for, son. Because they already know it's God's will. It's more than a matter of claiming the authority of what God has already made known. For example, we can pray with authority in the matter of winning the unchurched to Christ, because God has already told us that that's what he wants us to do. I can pray for my personal life that God will show me how to display the fruit of the Spirit, because he has already revealed that that's what he wants in his word. As a church, we can pray with the authority when we know the word and apply the word to its proper context and claim the word as God revealed will, the will for his church. And that is exactly what is going on in our text, and that is exactly what will propel us into the future as a church that is experiencing the power of God in our midst. We're going to see a lot more miracles. Why? Because the Word of God says that he can do amazingly more through us. Principle number 3, pray with intensity. Man, over the 24 hours of prayer, I saw some pretty intense people. I mean, you know how intense some Christians can be. And I tell you what, at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, you get those intense people coming through the door. I'm here to pray. And they pray. Do you ever stop to consider that our prayers to God are sometimes offered a little bit too casually? Dinner time.
What we're about to see, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen. That used to happen in our house. Sally is one of the best cooks I've ever, I was going to say married, but I've ever met. And she puts down, and I don't thank her every night. I got to admit, I don't thank her. What a beautiful meal it was, but she does. She cooks. This is my thank you, by the way. Sorry. And she puts these beautiful meals, and she tempts me to quickly say thank you to God. And I used to go, we still do hold hands around the dinner table. And we say the Lord, and we say thank grace, but we say it completely different now what we used to. I used to go, yeah, if we're about to see my Lord, make sure you thank him. It was beautiful. But anyway, oh, I'm starting to wobble. Even when you haven't had sleep for a long time, you're just wobbling. But anyway, in other words, do you really stop and think just who it is that we're addressing before we open up our mouths to pray? Three? In other words, let's put it into this perspective. We are created beings who are given the privilege of addressing our Creator. We are created beings who have been given the privilege of addressing our Creator. You know, we're not speaking to our neighbour about the footy or our co-workers about the last political scandal or anything like that. We are speaking to the one who spoke the world into existence. The one who raised Christ from the dead. The one who has the power beyond anything we're given, even capable of imagining. And we can come to him any time, any day, and talk with him. How nervous have you ever been when you've had to go and speak to someone that's famous or in the political era or the headmaster or someone in higher authority, higher power? See, when I learned this, when I suddenly realised that I can go to the Creator of the heavens and the earth and talk with him, do you think that a politician down the road is going to make me nervous? Do you think that someone that I speak to in higher authority is going to make me nervous? If it does, if you're one of those people, then speaking you must never speak to God, because that would just be too stressful. But God has given us the privilege. It's a privilege to speak with him. I have a concern that we don't take all that into account when we pray. It's not that God is not approachable, or we have to say all the right theological lingo down before we address him. And that can be a hard thing for some people too. Because you might hear someone get up and thee, thy, thou, thee, almighty, Emmanuel. And I don't mean to knock that, but that can be really intimidating for someone who doesn't really know how to address God. You know, it's not our words, it's our heart when we address God. And the reason I think my concern is justified is because if we're recognizing who he is, I think there would be a lot more intensity about our prayer life. I mean, how can you believe that you're addressing God without the same level of intensity involved? Now, the early Christians addressed God as sovereign Lord and then acknowledged him as the creator and then addressed the authority of his written and spoken word. And then, and only then, did they begin to petition him. Now, I love the simple prayers of a child. When you say prayers with them at night. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you today for me being able to jump that jump. And thank you, Lord, that I had food. And thank you, Lord, Lord, thank you, Lord, that tomorrow's going to be really good for me. And thank you, Lord, for good night, Daddy. Don't you love the simple prayer of a child? Because it's all about them. But we need, if you're a grandparent, you've got to teach your grandchildren how to pray. Yeah. And we as parents, uncles, aunties, we've got to teach our children how to pray. And then what did they ask for? They asked for safety? No. Did they ask for a way out of their dilemma? These are the disciples, the first church. No, they didn't. This is what they prayed for. Acts 4:29-30 says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats, okay, and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." I had to read that over and over and over again at 2 o'clock in the morning to get it in my head what God was talking about. We need to pray with intensity that no matter what threatens us, we pray, "Lord, hear their threats. And then give me the power to preach your name so that we will see miracles, signs and wonders." Once you hear that, you've now got to understand, love thy enemy. Because that is exactly what the God's telling us to do. And that's what the church did. The intensity of their focus is seen in what they request. Hear the threats of those coming against us and give us boldness to preach the word, even with the threats hanging over our heads. Heal the sick and do miraculous signs and wonders. Everything they ask for as a sole purpose was bringing the unchurched into a relationship with Jesus Christ, even way back there. The focus here is not on self, but on leading the unsaved into a salvation experience. The unity and the authority of what we looked at earlier is clearly demonstrated in the intensity of their petition. Now, they're not only praying for sunshine, for sunshine for the church picnic or to get a good deal at the supermarket this week. They're praying as if souls were at stake. And the reason they prayed was that the way it is because their souls, or the people in the community, their souls were at stake. Ezekiel 33:8-9. Perhaps they understood what God told Ezekiel. And suppose I say to the wicked, "Wicked people, you will surely die." Now, who's thought of that in their Christian walk? When you've looked at someone wicked and you've gone, "Oh, they're wicked. Oh, they're evil people. They're surely going to die. They're surely going to go to hell." And we keep walking.
Suppose I say to the wicked, wicked people, you will surely die. But you don't speak to warn the wicked to stop doing evil. Then they will die because they were sinners. But I will punish you for their deaths. But if you warn the wicked to stop doing evil and they do not stop, they will die because they were sinners. But you have saved your life. Now, I love the faith of Bill Crabtree. Because if it wasn't for Bill, I wouldn't have been able to sit down and have a meeting with Senator Dean Smith. And that is exactly what God's talking about. You don't need to be afraid of people and sinners and evildoers. You don't need to be afraid of them. You need to be afraid. You need to have the fear of the Lord, because if you're not telling these people to change their ways, then you have that opportunity to do that and you don't. But I will punish you for their deaths. Intense, isn't it? See, the responsibility to tell others about God's marvelous plan for salvation has always rested in the hands of God's people, you and me. When we begin to understand that, we begin to pray with the intensity that God will give us the boldness to proclaim his message, and that he will work miraculous ways to conceive the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. Alan, how long have you known your friend for? Since you were 17. And I bet you've always wanted the opportunity to bring him to the Lord, yeah? And all it took was this one crazy lady with a cross around her thing and a cross around her thing and led him to the Lord. And you're going, what? She had the intensity. I'm not saying Alan didn't, but God will use all these moments, and it's a great lesson for us all, that testimony this morning. I love it. Bill Hybels speaks of it. His friend, he went sailing with his friend this is Bill Hybels, the big preacher, great church in America. He went sailing with his friend for like 30 years. He's always saying, come to church, mate, you know. Come to church. Or you should go to church. Oh, I went to church. Yeah, it was great church. Never came. He was sick one weekend and he couldn't skip the boat. This other guy came in and skipped the boat while they were. Have you ever given your life to the Lord? No. Nah. Interested? Oh, could be. Are you? Oh, yeah. Well, let's give your life to the Lord now. Bang. Right there, 30 years. And Bill Hybels goes, great testimony, Al. Intensity. The last principle. Oh, 11:27, sorry. Principle 4, pray expectantly. Okay, I want to get this done. So thank you for hanging back. We have faith in all sorts of things, don't we? And I believe last night that when I turned the key to my car this morning that it would start, yeah? How many people of you did that? Hopped in your car this morning, turned the key, you know it was going to start, okay. Well, every morning I jump in the shower, okay, and I expect that there's going to be warm water. That's why I yelled at my wife, get out of the shower this morning. I did too, didn't I? Yeah. But when I put this jacket on this morning, I expected to be warm, didn't I? Did you expect to be warm this morning when you put your jumper on? Today when I was getting ready for church, I expected that I'd meet fellow believers and some seekers in the worship service. And all of those things I expected were based on faith, and that the faith is based on the evidence of things I have experienced or I've had knowledge of in the past. True? Our faith that God will act is also based on what we have experienced in the past or on the things that God has promised to us. And the more spiritually mature we become, the more we expect God to act. And the more spiritually mature we become is because we're getting into the Word. That's the only way we can get more spiritually mature, is by knowing God and His Word. Amen? Acts 4:31 says, after this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook. Wow! Can you imagine it? The whole building shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached God's message with great boldness. What's the most amazing thing in that verse? Don't say. Because a lot of people say, oh, the building was shaking. Wow. And they'd read it like this. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting was shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached God's message with boldness. Now, the shaking of the building is what usually draws our attention. But I personally couldn't care less an iota if God ever shakes the building where I'm praying. I don't care about that. The more significant act that took place is that God fully met their expectations by filling them with the power of the Holy Spirit and giving them the power to preach God's word with boldness. Isn't this exactly what they asked for? Did they ask, oh Lord, shake the building? No. They asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be bold, to be able to preach the word. And God answered that prayer. And isn't this what they had united on? Isn't this the answer based on the authority that they had claimed? Isn't this the answer in direct correlation with the intensity of their prayers? Unity in prayer, authority in prayer, intensity in prayer, and the expectancy in prayer to lead to one thing: God's power being manifested in the church and His people. Can I have the music team up, please? Actually, don't worry about the music team. Just sit down. You're right. 31. This is not complicated, folks. Okay, it's not complicated. It is God's simple principles in acting for His glory, for His benefit, and for the salvation of the world in which He loves. And these are the principles, not that we ought to apply, but that we're going to apply. Hear me. These are the principles, not that we ought to reply, but we are going to apply. In the building of God's kingdom, through the power given to all of us here at Hillside. Don't ever think that you're going to see miracles just through the pastor of this church. I believe I'm going to see miracles through each and every one of you. Because that's what the Word of God says. Don't think I have all the authority and all the power. You have all the authority and the power. Now, there's a real stirring in the Spirit over the church at the moment in this city. Do not be mistaken. Pray in unity. Pray with authority. Pray with intensity. And pray expectantly. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit word. Lord, I just pray over these people now. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for revelation. And Lord, following revelation, I pray, Lord, that You will just use them mightily
that they just won't have the bing in their head and go, oh, that's what it means. But I pray over each and every one now that they be doers of the word. Lord, I pray, let their heart be like your heart. Lord, I pray, let their your desires be their desires, and that is none shall perish. Lord, I pray over each and every individual in this room now, and I pray, Lord, for not just divine appointments, but for divine appointments. That they will know that they know. Lord, I ask a blessing upon one of our elders, Alan, for sharing that testimony today. Let us all have divine moments like that. Heavenly Father, I pray, let us be committed to transformation in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're expectant. We're expectant to see more signs, to see more wonders, to see more miracles. But Lord, most of all, to see more salvations in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen. 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 Well, look, thank you for bearing with my babbling this morning. But I just want to open it up to, who needs healing in the house this morning? Who needs healing? So if you need healing, come forward. You can go, but if you want to, you just want to be around and pray for people, you can. Be quiet. I don't want anyone. Just be gentle in the spirit. But anyone needs healing, come forward. This is what we're following the word. You will see signs and wonders. That's what the God said. That's what the authority says. If you need healing this morning, I want you to come up, elders. I want you to come up here too. And we're going to anoint people with oil. But have a great weekend. Remember those divine appointments. Just don't pray for divine appointments and then let those divine appointments go by, because you will be blessed like Alan was blessed this weekend. All right? God richly bless you. Thank you.